So good to see you all here this morning. Hey, if you've got a copy of God's Word, you got your Bible with you, go ahead and open it up to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 is where we're going to be this morning. If we haven't met before, my name is Thomas Wade, and I get to serve as the minister to students here at FBC Valdosta. I also just want to take a second. Thank you so much for making FBC Valdosta part of your Sunday morning. It is so great to be here. If you're joining us online, thank you for joining us that way as well. I know Michael just mentioned 807 just a second ago, but that is something that I was going to mention this morning as well, because we've been walking through the book of Galatians this whole semester, and we've been doing that, and it has been so great. 807 happens every Sunday night here for college students in this very room. We have dinner, we have worship, and then we usually have been diving into the book of Galatians. We've done a few different things for that as well. And so if that's something that applies to you, we would love to have you join us for that, even tonight, happening here in this room. The reason that we're looking at Galatians is it's such a great book. I mean, it is such a great book. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. And specifically, this morning, I wanted to talk about chapter 2, verses 15 through 21, as you can see on the screen. Because whenever I read these verses, I always look at them and I think, I wish everybody could read these verses. Even if you just read them by themselves, you just read them and you see and you know there's a lot of power. There's a lot going on in these verses right here. And so I'm up here today for us to look at these verses and talk about just exactly what they mean for us. But before we actually get into those, we always need to make sure we have some context whenever we read the Bible, right? That's so important anytime that we read the Bible. And so, real quick, Galatians is believed to be Paul's first letter, so that's important. It's the first book that he has written. Obviously, he's writing to the Galatian church right here. And chapter 1, he starts out, he kind of gets onto the Galatian church. He's kind of scolding them for abandoning the true gospel for this false gospel that some other false teachers are bringing into their midst. And then he gets into, at the end of chapter 1, he's talking about his story, his testimony, and he's talking a little bit about his authority that he has as an apostle. And then chapter 2, he talks about the beginning of his ministry. And then the verses that we're taking a look at are a little bit of a continuation from the verses before, that paragraph that you see before these verses, where Paul is actually calling out Peter, like the apostle Peter, like the Peter that hung around with Jesus, the Peter that makes a lot of mistakes that we read about in the Bible. And here he is, once again, making a mistake. Shocker, right? But Paul is calling him out for that. And we may read these verses in 15 through 21 and we think, well, then that just applies to Peter. That doesn't necessarily apply to me. But that's not the case. These are some verses that we should be reading and we should be leaning into and saying, all right, what is God trying to teach me through this? And he starts out by reminding them, hey, we're both Jews and not Gentiles. And even though that would apply to us, we are considered Gentiles in the Bible. And then the end of chapter 2, what we're going to be looking at, Paul starts this argument of picking apart what the Galatians have believed as a false gospel and that works are necessary for salvation. So let's go ahead, let's dive into this text together. And I would ask that if you're physically able, would you please stand in honor of God's holy and infallible word? So Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 21, Paul writes, "We ourselves are Jews by birth, and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God." And then in verse 20, he writes this very strong, impactful verse. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for waking all of us up this morning. Thank you that we get to gather together as the body of Christ, that we get to worship you through song, that we get to read your word. Thank you for just an opportunity just to read your word. It is always so amazing, or it is inexhaustible. We will never be able to get to the bottom of the depths of the riches that you have in your word. So Lord, I pray today that we would be able to bask in the riches of your word, and that you would teach us what you're trying to tell us this morning through your word. Lord, I pray that there would be nothing that I try to preach myself that is not found in your word. Lord, there is nothing good in me apart from Jesus Christ. And Lord, for that alone, I'm thankful. I pray today that you would prepare hearts right now. You would push out all distractions that we may have in our lives. Lord, thank you for everyone gathered in this room and for gathering with us online. Lord, I pray we'd have a great Sunday. And Lord, I also pray that we would also have a great rest of the week in light of your grace and your mercy. Lord, I pray all these things in your name and for your glory. Amen. You guys can have a seat. So, in Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 21, we are given the very definition of what it means to be a Christian. And that is what we are going to be talking about today. Number one, by faith in Jesus Christ, we are accepted before God. And number two, by faith in Jesus Christ, we are alive to God. So we talked a little bit about what verse 15 was saying right here, and then we move on to verse 16. And in verse 16, Paul points out a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And so you may have been caught up a little bit on verse 15 where it's talking about Jews and Gentiles, but that's not the most important phrase that's happening here. The most important phrase actually for us is coming in verse 16 where it says person. Because when he says person, he's referring to all people. So he's saying everyone is not justified by works of the law. He's not just not worrying anymore about Jews or Gentiles or those distinctions. He's worrying more about saying, look, this is applicable to every person. He's beginning his argument, making the point for us that a person is never justified by works of the law, but only through faith in Jesus Christ. So real quick, I keep saying that word justified, and I want to touch on that word real quick. I know that's maybe a word that you are unfamiliar with, or maybe you aren't totally clear about. Maybe this is one of the first times you've heard that, and that's totally okay. This is kind of one of those church words, right? It gets tossed around a lot. We use it a lot. But really, what it simply means is that we are able to be right before God. That is the baseline definition of what justified means. When it says no one is justified by works of the law, that means through the works of the law, no one is right before God. But a person is only right through faith in Jesus Christ. And it certainly, being right before God, verse 16 points out very clearly, it's not going to happen by works, because that's part of what the Galatians were believing. They were adding to the true gospel, saying there must be something else that we have to do. There must be some kind of work that we must do to add to this for this to be true. But that's one of the purposes in Paul writing this letter at all, is pointing out and warning the Galatians against these false teachers who are putting this idea of faith by works into their minds and saying, no, 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 that is not true. That is not what Christ came here to do. He's putting so much emphasis on this that he basically says that twice in verse 16. He brings it up twice, that no one is justified by works, but only through faith. And that really brings us to the first point of what it means to be a Christian. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are accepted before God. See, we are accepted before God because of faith in what Jesus Christ has done through his perfect life, perfect death, resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. You see, it's not the law that will ever make us accepted before God. Rules will never make somebody a good person. As much as we hope that giving somebody a certain set of rules is going to eventually lead them on the right path and make them a good person, it really doesn't. Unfortunately, it won't. Rules are really just a big magnifying glass that are being put up to us that are going to put on display and magnify our mistakes and our shortcomings where we are going to mess up. And that should show us we're all sinners, because the law is going to show us we are sinners. It is going to magnify our sin most of the time beyond something that we really want to see. Most of the time, we don't want to be put under that magnifying glass, and so we try to hide under things, or we try to put things in between that magnifying glass, but that magnifying glass will always be there, and it will always be showing us our shortcomings and our mistakes. And that applies to everyone. That's why Paul is saying person. He's talking about everyone, which should tell us, well, everyone that we come in contact with sins. Like everyone. Seriously, everyone that you come in contact does sin. The late R.C. Sproul put it this way: we aren't sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. Sinner is who you are, and sin is what you do. Now, there's a lot in that. I wish we had more time to kind of just work with that, but that's kind of the baseline of what we should know about ourselves. And that really brings us into this question that's brought up in verse 17. We read verse 17 a second ago, and there's this question that Paul poses. Does that mean that Jesus is a slave to sin if he's going to keep forgiving us of our sin? So he asked that question because the false teachers within that are coming into the Galatian church and corrupting them, that's one of the things that they brought up. If they do not obey the law, then really they could just keep on sinning and being forgiven. Sometimes we fall into that same trap as well. We think, well, it's okay. I can do this. I know this isn't right, but I can do this because Jesus will forgive me. But here Paul is objecting to that claim, because if that were true, if we could do that, then that would make Jesus a slave to sin. But that is not the case, as Paul very emphatically pointed out in his response to that. He gives a clear answer to that objection, and he says, certainly not. You can paraphrase that however you want, put that into your own words, but the answer is a big fat all caps, no, that is not true at all. That's why whenever we think about being justified by our faith in Jesus, verse 18 really brings up this great point. If we're to put our faith in Christ, then we will never live the same life. We are no longer going to try to make Jesus a slave to sin, because we are not a slave to sin. And verse 18 brings that up whenever it says right here, for if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. We don't live the same life. Verse 18 is really kind of this moving up the hill towards the peak of this passage. And right here, Paul is telling us, you would never rebuild what you just tore down. And whenever I read this verse, it reminded me of this show that I used to watch with my family every Sunday night. We would watch Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Anybody remember that show? Yeah, we would come home every night, turn it on after church, eat dinner together, watch this show, and we would just be amazed, because in it, it took 1 hour for this team to flip this house, right? Just 1 hour. No, it took a lot longer than that, unfortunately. But for a while, I did think, that is so amazing. It only took an hour. But I soon learned through the magic of TV, that's not the case. But if you didn't watch that show, you have no idea what I'm talking about. I'll give you a quick premise of what's going on. So usually there would be this family that's in some kind of hard financial time, or they're in some kind of spot. Their living conditions just aren't the best. This team would come in, send this family on vacation, get them out of the house, and then they would come in and just totally flip the house. They would remodel it, turn it into just state-of-the-art house. I mean, some of them, I saw it and I was like, that is the most amazing house I have ever seen in my life, right? And then they would bring this family back from vacation. They would get out of the car. They'd be standing on the road in front of their house. there's a big bus blocking their view to the house, and then they'd say, move that bus. And they would move the bus, and there's this amazing house. It is just unbelievable to them what it looks like. They just can't recognize this house anymore because it's not the same anymore. The old has been torn down, and the new is there, this brand new, amazing house. And so whenever I read this verse, I thought back to that show. And then I had this thought, what if the family came home from this vacation, they're standing on the street, they know something big is about to happen. This house is just totally different. I don't know what it looks like just yet, but I'm about to find out. And the bus moves, and their house looks the exact same. How awful would that be? That'd be terrible TV, for one. Two, the family would be so disappointed. But then imagine if the team that built their house, they said, we tore down your old one, and then we rebuilt it. That's not the point of the show, and that's not the point of why they were doing this. They were doing this because the way that they were living before was not suitable. The way that they were living before was just, it wasn't cutting it. And so they brought in this team to rebuild this house to make it completely new. And it really just made me think, that's basically what Paul's saying in these verses. Why would you go back to the old? Why would you want the old when the new has come? And that makes no sense if we are made new in Jesus Christ through faith. We would never go back to the old when we have this new. If we're going to go back to the old life we once lived because we are set free and our desires are new, we're never going back to that old life. Our deepest longings are now made new. And we're completely new, so why would we even want to go back to the old? That could never, ever satisfy us, and that will never cut it. But through Jesus, we're no longer living in the old, which does not define us anymore when we are in Christ. The old is no longer ever going to define us. And that's what we're going to see in the next couple of verses, verses 19 and 20. Verse 19, we get this thought, and then verse 20 kind of fleshes out that thought and brings it together. So Paul says in verses 19 and 20, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't know about you, but I read verse 20 and I'm like, who talks like that? Nobody really talks like that anymore. It almost kind of couldn't confuse us in a few ways because we often don't hear this language. We may read this and think, I thought only Jesus was crucified. Is Paul telling me that I'm supposed to be crucified as well? But to answer that question, why is he talking like this? We have to remember, why on earth Jesus went to the cross at all? Sometimes we just forget about the reason that Jesus went to the cross. We want to just magnify the cross and we want to talk about the cross. But sometimes we don't want to think about why. What's the point in him doing that? The Bible tells us two important things about that. It tells us, in one sense, that only Jesus could have filled that place on the cross, right? Jesus could only do what Jesus could do, which was to accomplish the work that God had planned. Which makes it very important for us to remember the fact that Jesus is 100% God, 100% man at the same time. In the words of the rapper and pastor Shylan, he says, only a human can substitute for human lives, but only God can take the wrath of God and survive. So we remember that, and in one way we have what Jesus doing, what only he can do, but in another way, we are sharing in the cross at the exact same time as this is happening. So we have both of those things true at the same time. And so for us, whenever we say we are sharing in what Jesus did on the cross, that means that we are dying to sin. And when we die to sin, we die to ourselves. And I don't say that very lightly. I know I just kind of threw that out there, and it may sound very easy, but that is not an easy thing to do. I promise you, it is not. Dying to yourself is something that you have to wake up every morning and make the decision to do that. I can't stand up here and give you a list of five ways that you could make that happen, right? I could, but it may not, none of those may apply to you. It looks very different for each of us, but that is a decision that we make every morning by saying, Jesus, you are more worthy than my sin, than myself even. I have been crucified with you at the cross. I'm putting my flesh to death. But when we put our flesh to death, we are then alive to God. And that brings us to the second point of what it means to be a Christian. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are alive to God. I don't know if you noticed, but in verse 19 and 20, Paul uses the word live five times, actually. He starts at the beginning of verse 19, and he's talking about death. And then at the end of verse 19 and in verse 20, he starts using this word live. Okay, those are two drastically different things. Being dead and being alive are completely different. So we see a big shift in what is happening in Paul's life. He starts out by saying, it is no longer I who lives. Remember what we were just talking about when you put your faith in Jesus, your old life apart from Christ is put to death. And that's exactly why 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. And then comes this very important word and phrase, behold, the new has come. See, there is much more to our Christian life than just praying a prayer. When our faith is put into Jesus Christ, our old self is dead. Why would we rebuild what has been torn down, like verse 18 just said? Why would we go back to what has died? When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, there is no way we could ever go back to the old. But when I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So here is just this dramatic, drastic life change that Paul is talking about. It's not the same Paul anymore. So for me, whenever I do that, that means I'm not the same Thomas anymore. I'm no longer enslaved to the flesh. I'm now free from the flesh, and I am able to be freed from my sinful desires. Does that mean I'm never going to experience those again? Boy, you bet I am. If you sit here and you say, yes, I am a Christian, you can attest to that as well. I know it's not ever easy. That's why I say we must wake up and say, I'm going to die to myself, and I'm going to live for Christ. But not only living, but living by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, even when we are in Christ, we're still living this life here on earth, right? I'm still here. You're still here. Here we are. We are still living this life. But now we live this life with a much higher and different calling. It is not the same life that we once lived. The commentator Matthew Henry puts it, he's describing these verses. He says, even though Paul lives in the flesh, he does not live after the flesh. We're still here, but we're not pursuing the flesh and our sinful desires anymore. In this new life from Jesus, we are never going to live the same way. See, that reminds me of this story. So whenever I was younger and I still lived at home with my family, we decided to get this treadmill. All right, some of you probably already know where this story is going because you've had a very similar experience. So we got this treadmill, and I fully believed this treadmill is about to change my life. I'm about to be a running machine. I am just going to be on this thing every morning, every night. This is going to change my life. But guess what didn't change? Me. I didn't change at all. I made no effort into getting on this treadmill, into using this treadmill. Used it once, twice, and then I got tired of it. It just sat in the corner, and it just collected dust, and it just got in the way. And then I would get mad because I'm like, why am I not in the best shape of my life? Why am I not running all the time? Why am I not a running machine? Why am I not doing this? And it never changed me eventually. And then eventually we sold it off and we got rid of it because it was just taking up space in a corner, and then it started taking up space in our basement, and then we got rid of it. And I was still the same person as I was before. But see, our life can't be like that treadmill anymore. It can't be that way whenever we follow Jesus. It can't be that way whenever we say, no, I am in Christ. I am unified with Christ because of what Jesus did on the cross, but also in what I shared with him on that cross. We can't just use Jesus as this get-out-of-jail-free card, right? Remember what verse 17 was saying? And that's why in that verse it's telling us Jesus is not our get-out-of-jail-free card. He isn't some tool that we can just pick up or put down whenever we really want. He isn't just going to sit in a corner and collect dust. He is going to transform our entire lives and build a new you. See, in Christ, we live to him because he gave himself for us. And that is exactly what our faith is grounded in. That is now our purpose in how we are going to live. And that should change everything about our lives. Nothing should ever look the same as it did before Christ. Your life should never look the same after Christ. Whenever we have an encounter with Jesus, there should be very two distinct dispensations in our lives. There should be before Christ, and there should be our life now in Christ. And I know that sometimes we are going to get too caught up in pushing away our sin. We're going to be too caught up in, okay, well, now that I'm living in Christ, I need to be pushing away all the sin, all my sinful desires, all the flesh, all those things. But then we do that for a while, and then we stop and we think, now why was I doing that? I was so focused on pushing away all of my sin and all my sinful desires, and I'm just trying to live this good life, this life that I've been told I need to be living, and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But then after a while, we're going to say, well, why am I doing that? Is it really that important? But we're putting those things away because even when all those things are going to fade away, even when we start to creep back into them, no matter what's going to happen, Christ is going to remain. He is going to stand victoriously over our sin, even when we dive 2 feet into it. He is still going to stand when all the things are going to crumble away, because we aren't living in Christ because of ourselves or because of anything else other than because of his love for us. Which brings us to how Paul is going to beautifully wrap up this chapter in verse 21, where he says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Really, this is one of those verses that I was talking about earlier that anybody can read, and we can clearly see, well, Christ did die for a purpose. And that's one of the things that we should say whenever we read these verses. Christ did die for a purpose. And then if we say, I am in Christ, we should read these verses and then immediately say, Christ died for me. And if we're going to be able to say that, then we are no longer living under the law that is putting a magnifying glass up to our sin, into our shortcomings, into our mistakes. We are now living under the grace of God. And that right there should be the fuel for us to bring glory to God in the life that we now live and in every single thing that we do. You see, our lives are completely different now because we're no longer living under that law. We're no longer our old self because we're now living under the grace of God and his righteousness because of what Jesus has done and how we are able to share in that. And that changes everything. And this is what it means to be a Christian. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are accepted before God because of what Jesus has done. Number two, and by faith in Jesus Christ, we are alive to God because of the life we now live in Jesus. So let us now go and live a life in Christ because we are accepted and because we are alive. This time I'm going to invite the band back up to the stage, and they're going to lead us in a final song. If you'd like to know more about what that means or talk a little bit more about what these verses were saying, then I'm going to be right here down front, and I would love to talk to you more about that. Or at the end of the service, feel free to visit our Connect table as well. Or maybe you just want to come up here and you want to receive some prayer. I would love to pray for you in whatever it is that's going on. Maybe you just want to come up here to the altar and just kneel and pray to God yourself. You are more than welcome to do that. But whatever it is, do not leave here without responding to what God has called you to do, if he's calling you to do so. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much once again for an opportunity to gather together. Lord, you're so good to us for giving us this opportunity. Lord, I pray that we would live our lives because we are accepted before you. And Lord, that we are alive to you. I pray we would push away the things that are now dead and that are old and that are gone, and that we would live only in light of your glory. Teach us what that means in our lives. It is not a sprint that's going to happen in a moment, but it is something that is going to take our entire lives. But Lord, thank you that for our entire lives we get to walk with you. That is an amazing gift. Lord, continue to change us and to make us more like you. I pray that we would just respond now in the way that you have called us. Lord, I pray all these things in your name and for your glory. Amen. Thank you.